Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/auctionpodcast for your free audiobook download. Hi, everyone. This is Martin Willis with the Antique Auction Podcast, and I'm in Brimfield, Massachusetts, for the Brimfield Antique Show, or flea market, some people call it, and one of the largest in the country, as far as I know. And it spreads on about a mile or so on both sides of the road. Many tents full of hundreds of dealers, and always interesting things. I've been here many times. Really looking forward to talking to a few people here today, and hope you enjoy the show. So here we go. Hi there, what's your name?
Martin Cruz.
Martin, well, I'm Martin Willis. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
So how long have you been coming here to Brimfield?
Since 05.
05?
Yeah.
And you come three times a year?
Yes.
Three different shows. Where are you from?
Pennsylvania, eastern Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh. Do you do other shows as well, or...?
Since 1987, I did Scott's Market in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
Do you have a shop?
No, I don't have a shop.
So how do you buy? That's the question.
It's auctions. Pennsylvania's usually auctions,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
for...
A lot of nice things come out.
Yes.
I see you have a lot of nice things
and,
here.
There in the early 90s, I moved to Estonia,
mm-hmm.
and bought a lot of things over there, exported Russian icons. And,
oh, wow.
You know, primitives from that area of the world.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Diversity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, Estonia is a nice little country.
Huh. Yeah. I wouldn't even be able to put it on the map. I don't even know.
It's south of Finland. Across
uh-huh.
the Bay of Finland.
Uh-huh.
It's the most northern Baltic state.
Uh-huh. I always ask this question. How did you get into antiques in the first place?
My great aunt and uncle were cleaning out their summer home.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a bunch of stuff. And I grew up in my grandparents' house, you know, that my parents had bought from them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew up with antiques. And then I started to sell things at a flea market. You know, to
uh-huh.
make money. And I started going to an auction at 12. When I was 12 years old.
Wow.
And,
yeah, you become an addict when it starts that young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're in it for life.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm not qualified for anything else. But yeah. So, how have you been doing this year? Spring was pretty good. Everybody
spring
seems to be talking about
good.
It. Yeah.
Spring, you know, it makes me feel like the economy is rebounding.
You're the second person that said that.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, you know, the economy got bad simply because everything was so inflated.
Sure.
The prices were unrealistic.
Across the board on
right.
everything. Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have to suffer through it. You sell things for less than what you paid for. But, you know, that promotes your cash flow.
Yeah.
And it starts over. You know,
yeah.
So you
right. The cycles. We've seen a few.
Yeah. To start the cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me what's involved in you coming up here. The whole. Does it take you a day to set up, or what's?
Yeah, I come up here Monday morning. Usually get here like 11, 12 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I work till 8, 9. Yeah, till dark last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
puttering around.
Yeah.
Getting everything.
Pricing up. And everything, all that.
Yeah, getting that out, getting things situated, and you
yeah.
know, trying to get things to fit so you can get more things unpacked.
Yeah.
You know,
now, do you have things, also other things to bring in if you sell items?
There's yeah. not too much under the table this time. I think
that's what you usually do. Put yeah.
load the van.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot. Of, sometimes I try to bring a little bit of furniture, and then I don't bring as many boxes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the small items selling pretty good. Too?
Yeah, but
yeah.
Yeah, especially in Brimfield, a lot of people want to buy things that they can carry.
Right. That makes
you know?
Sense. Yeah. Because there's a lot
they
of walking.
A couple pieces of furniture, and then they can drive in for it.
Now, do they have porters for that?
Yes, I haven't seen that many porters today, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, normally there's all kinds of kids that help you move anything.
Nice, nice. Well, it's been a real pleasure. Nice talking to you, and good luck.
Okay.
Hope you have a good show and
thank
good
you.
Shows in the future.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Probably going to be in the $400 range.
All right, fine. Okay. Give me an idea, and you are where?
Oh,
the May. Gotcha.
Okay, cool. All right.
Do you shipping? Hi, how you doing? No, that's fine.
Anything anywhere. All right.
Anything anywhere.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Fine.
What's your name?
I'm Al Roche.
Al Roche. And I'm seeing these amazing metal sculptures here, and I just asked you do them all, huh?
Oh, yeah.
And that one you just pointed to weighs 300 pounds?
Something like that, yeah.
Now, what's that comprised of?
Those are cultivator discs.
Ah, so where are you from?
Texas.
Texas. Do you do this show with these?
I'm doing it 3 times a year.
For how long?
I've been coming here for like 30 years.
And how long have you been bringing the sculpture?
This is the second year.
How do you do with it?
Sell out.
You do sell out. Good for you. Now, do you sell this sculpture in other places too?
Yes.
All right, down there in...
down in Texas, we got sculptures scattered up and down the East Coast.
Do you really? So,
yep.
The things that you don't sell here, do you store? That's always a question. Do you have a storage space
here?
They
end up being sold. I don't have to worry about storage a whole lot.
Wow, and there's a lot of it here, too. Wow. So this keeps you busy all the time in between shows, huh?
No, actually. No, we got time for other things.
All right.
We have to keep, this is just like part of the escapade.
Yeah, and I see you sell antiques. You have all kinds of things here.
Yeah.
And so you've been bringing these items. Have you ever brought any other types of works here that you do?
I used to do benches, tables, face furniture line, water skis, surfboards, baseball bats, that kind of thing.
All right. Uh-huh.
And I merged into this, and we're doing this for the next couple of years, and who knows where it goes from there.
All right, great. Well, thank you for your time.
Sure.
All right. Hi, what's your name?
Rebecca Ribble.
Rebecca, and you are a serious buyer. I can tell by your hat, by your blue tarp bag, by when I walk by you writing down things. Now, why do you write down things?
Just so I remember to pick things up and also to track what I spend and what I buy, so I have a record.
Uh-huh. Now, so you buy things and you go back to them and pick them up when you're done for the day?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
I usually actually have to do it in... I'll have to shop for a while and then bring things back to my car and then start all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Usually. Because I buy a lot of small things. So.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And what do you do? Do you have a shop or do you sell elsewhere?
I have an online business.
eBay or?
No, I have my own. Well, I sell on Etsy. I don't know if you're familiar with Etsy.
No. What? How do you spell that?
Etsy, Etsy.com.
Uh-huh.
It's based in Brooklyn. It's kind of a growing online marketplace
for
vintage stuff and handmade things.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a blog on Windsor Place Antiques, and I sell at the Brooklyn Flea Market.
Now, how long have you been doing this, coming up to Brimfield?
Since I was a kid, so...
You don't have to disclose that.
Yeah, no, a long time. Too long. I've only been doing this professionally, the buying and selling, for about 3.
Is that all you do right now?
Yeah, I have 2 little kids. So
so you can work around it.
Before I had kids, I worked as a professional chef. And after I had children, I just didn't want to do it anymore. So I'm trying to turn
That's a hard job.
A,
yeah, demanding job.
It's a business that I can sort of do and build and...
And what's the best find you found here at Brimfield?
My favorite thing that I kept for myself is this armoire that I bought from a British vendor here who every show comes over with a container of stuff from England. And it's a Art Deco armoire that has like a rotating hidden compartment in the middle that's round.
I can't say as I've ever seen, like a Lazy Susan type of thing.
Yeah, but it's vertical and it has these hidden drawers and it's Art Deco, from the 1920s or 30s.
Now, I'm sure it broke down.
A massive piece of furniture, and I bought it and then I couldn't get it in my van, and it cost me more to have it delivered to the city than...
Now, they usually...
It's like a beginner's mistake.
We all have it. Well, it's the best thing you bought too, right?
I still love it. I got it for a great price, except if you factor in how much it costs to bring it to New York City. And it's so big and heavy that it's never...
Well, doesn't it break down? Doesn't it come apart? Okay. Usually English armoires. Not this one, huh?
Not this one. No, wow. It's a funny shape. It's very streamlined shape and kind of rounded, and it's not in compartments.
Oh. Great. Well, good luck today.
All right. Thank you.
And nice meeting you.
Good luck to you. And you should plug for the Brooklyn Flea, but it's a great flea market.
Brooklyn Flea, when's that?
Interesting stuff. Every Saturday.
Every Saturday?
Every Saturday.
All right.
There's a website, brooklynflea.com.
All right, great. Nice meeting you, Rebecca.
You too. All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
to do right. this because I don't know how
good I am. Sorry. Hi, what's your name?
It's Agime.
And where do you come from?
We are from New York.
What's that?
Here? New York.
New York.
Yes.
Now, I can't imagine this tent is just full of, let's say, 100 crystal chandeliers?
Yeah, it's close to 200.
It's close to 100. And how do you get these from New York to here in this condition?
We pack them very good.
Now, do you actually take the prisms off some of them?
No.
So you leave and you just wrap it around real carefully? And
it's a system that we have come up that they don't move, they don't break.
They don't break? I can't believe some of these pieces are so fragile. And you must, I see all your boxes. So you pack them inside of boxes.
Yes.
And because normally if you're picking up a chandelier in a house, it's difficult. A lot of times it has to be hung. I mean, I'm talking about like in the, you know, in the auction business, we always try to hang it up in the truck somehow and then, you know, wrap it around in the truck. It's always very difficult. But you don't know how many times I've taken all the prisms off of some of these.
No, and, you don't have to.
Oh, the hours.
We have been doing this for 8 years, so in the beginning it was difficult like that, but then mm-hmm. you figured out which way to do it so it can be easier for you also.
Yeah.
And we came up with this system that...
Have you ever seen what movers do? They wrap each little prism with 14 pieces of paper.
Yeah. Really,
and they tape it too. They tape each...
No,
it takes you like 3 days to unload one chandelier.
It's
yeah.
not necessary.
Yeah.
For me, well, at least, it's not necessary.
Well, you have like waterfall pieces and cascading pieces and very, very beautiful, very nice. One of the most unique setups I've seen here at Brimfield.
Thank you.
Looks like the most labor-intensive, too. Well, nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Hi there. What's your name?
Brian Harvey.
Brian, I see you have... a unique setup here, license plates.
Yes.
So how many, and they're not just antique license plates, there are all kinds of license plates.
Yeah, it's a variety here of most of the states and some oil plates.
Uh-huh.
Good mixture.
Yeah, and I do see you have some antique ones too that are pretty rare, right?
Yes, sometimes they can be.
Yeah.
Porcelain.
Yeah.
Right up through.
Mm-hmm. And how many, would you take a guess how many license plates you have? Here, and maybe at home.
I don't know about at home. I don't want to say because my wife will find
She'll
out.
Find out.
I've probably got 1,000 plates here.
1,000, wow. Yeah. And the one question I had when I was walking up here is, where do you find these?
Well, most generally I just say I get them out of my van, but they come in. People
know you buy them?
With for the past 34 years that I've been doing Brimfield.
Uh-huh.
They come back.
And how many years?
34.
34 years. Wow.
There's only a couple fields when I first started.
Wow. Wow.
It's been an interesting
You're
place.
You're a long timer here.
I've seen it grow.
Yeah. Yeah. So what started you in, were you a collector first and then you decided to sell, or how did that happen?
I think I bought one of my first plates here. That is in my
oh,
collection,
yeah.
but I have uh-huh. a partiality to low numbers, and everyone collects different.
Uh-huh. So low numbers on a plate, like in New Hampshire, the low numbers
digit,
are...
1-digit, 2-digit.
Yeah.
Those are kind of fun.
Yeah.
And they don't take up so much room on the wall.
Now, do you buy or sell on eBay?
No, I'm not on eBay.
You're not on eBay?
No.
Wow.
I used to
yeah.
put some things on through other people.
Uh-huh. uh-huh.
Another company in our hometown, but no longer.
What would you say is like the rarest plate? Do you have a plate like you've been looking for and have never found? Is there anything like that?
Well, the Idaho potato, 1928. It's got a big potato on it.
Uh-huh.
Raised right off.
Have you ever had one? Or you
I
still...
have had one in my first year of business.
Uh-huh.
Back in 77.
That got you hooked, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sold it. Now I wish I'd kept it.
Yeah, I bet. It's probably gone up in value. What? Just out of curiosity, what's the most money a plate like that could bring?
Well, an American plate... the most ever paid was $675,000.
Huh?
Which is...
Are you serious?
Which is small compared to what the Arabs paid for their plates.
I had no idea we were talking
There's
that.
There's a website about a license plate sold in Arabia for $14 million. So, it's not so much a collector, it's the number.
Is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
He has a partiality of low numbers, too. And
uh-huh.
that was a number one. And he bought it because he's number one. There's a website you can look it up.
Wow, what's the website called?
I'm not sure what it's called. I just know if you punch in United Arab Emirates license plate number one, all kinds of stuff will spring up at you.
Wow.
And this was a year or so ago that it sold for $14 million.
$14 million.
It was an underbill. So, you know, some serious guys out there.
Yeah.
They probably wearing a robe and a turban.
Yeah. But now the average plates, say, I mean, they're usually, I've seen them at auctions go for fairly inexpensive.
Usually at an auction, somebody's there buying furniture or antiques, and yeah, the plate box might show up. And
yeah,
you get two guys that want it. Of course, anything could happen. But yeah, if there's no one interested, you might get it for $10.
Yeah,
$20. You never know what you'll get.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you look on eBay for anything rare? Do you have like searches on there?
I just use it to find things that I needed, my mm-hmm. personal interest, you know, because I make things out of plates now too.
Yeah, I see that. Do you have birdhouses?
We've shipped them all over the world.
Yeah. Now, if you find that extremely rare plate or a rare plate, do you have a buyer like lined up already?
Only in certain instances where they've been coming for years looking for a particular plate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could have one that happened in the spring. I had a plate they've been looking for 15 years.
Really?
And it finally came in. It had to be a certain condition.
Mm-hmm.
It had to have that look.
Yeah.
And original paint and no holes and just a nice eye appeal.
Yep.
Kind of thing hanging on their wall. And they're not plate collectors. It's just they wanted that plate because it has a fish on it.
Oh, I see. Now, how does condition play in all this? Is condition real important like everything else?
It is. The so-called purist, which I'm one of, I consider.
Mm-hmm.
I want my plate original paint that's in my collection. In a rare instance, I might have one restored
mm-hmm.
because it had no paint on it, and it was a total worthless piece of scrap metal until I had it fixed.
Now, so are there plate restorers?
There are plate restorers. They're quite busy.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Some people that they're there's terminologies used with their names.
Is really?
Oh yeah.
They invented the terminology.
Yeah. Well, there's one fellow that in the instances of his hobby, he's the quality of what he looks for. It's called Rach quality.
Oh.
That's his name, Rach. Steve Rach. He's from Washington D.C.
Wow. Wow. Is there, just for someone with any interest, is there any website in particular that you can point people to?
I don't really know of any.
Yeah.
There are some out there, and you can...
Yeah. How about a collector's club? Is there a collector's club?
There's several.
There are?
Carolina Collector's Club, CCC.
Uh-huh.
They're pretty cool guys. I know some of them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Stay over when I get out visiting and
talk
tags all day. Some of them build houses to house their collection.
Oh, yeah, really?
Keeps the wife happy.
Yeah, that would, I had seen it.
In their license plate world. And it's
a shrine, huh?
It's a shrine, a temple. there's a god, there's a license plate god out there. It goes on, I can tell you.
Now, if a license plate is new, is there any value in, is there certain numerology in a plate, like a new plate? Like, say someone's plate expires and they're number two in the state of New Hampshire, let's say.
Oh yeah, a low number.
Yeah.
Like a two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would.
That'd
be
like
a governor's council.
I was going to say that would be a politician. Else. Yeah.
Definitely be a political connected.
Now I have a friend in that state that has like 2006 something, and he inherited it from his father.
Yeah.
So it's passed down. Is that any other states as well? Have you ever heard of that?
Oh yeah, some like Delaware. They covet their numbers there.
Mm-hmm.
Every
mm-hmm.
farmer in the Dell knows
mm-hmm.
a number one is worth too much money.
Huh.
It's six is the highest, lowest number you can buy on the open market there.
Mm-hmm.
One through five is a governor, and he reserves the first five.
When you say you can buy, you mean you can actually pay?
You can buy and sell plates in Delaware and legally be registered when you drive out of the parking lot, as long as you're a Delaware resident.
And you have a bill of sale.
You have your bill of sale. It's transferred there.
Wow.
And you are legally registered in Delaware.
Wow, isn't that something?
They have one of these unique laws there that they can buy and sell their own registration. If you walk in the back parking lot, you can do some switching.
Wow. I wonder if they ever put them in
there, you can cash is king and...
Put them in an auction. Yeah, probably do that.
They have.
They have.
That one that brought $675,000 was at auction.
Yeah.
And that was number six.
Wow, isn't that something? That wasn't an active plate, though. That was an antique plate?
That was an active plate.
That was an active
on
plate.
On a car. And it was switched at the auction. So the guy not only bought the plate, he bought the registration rights.
Wow. That's like buying a really unique website early on, URL.
Oh, yeah.
All those people selling them for $12 million and stuff like that. Yeah. Beer.com.
The website.
Yeah. Same kind of thing. Yeah, except earlier. Well, it's been a real pleasure. Nice meeting you.
Very nice to meet with you.
All right. Thanks. Hi there. What's your name?
Renee.
Renee, how you doing? I'm Martin, and you're on the Antique Auction Podcast. And is this your first time at Brimfield?
It is.
Really?
Yes.
You look like a veteran almost. Now, are you an antique collector?
I am a collector, yes.
And do you specialize in anything?
I collect figurines and ephemera.
Ephemera? What type of ephemera? I like ephemera myself.
Postcards, sheet music, prints, sort of thing.
Uh-huh. How did you get started? You seem fairly young, and there's not a lot of young people in the business of collecting these days, it seems. So how did you get started?
Traveling with my family, actually overseas, got me interested in history. And then just throughout school, majored in art history, and then collecting.
Uh-huh. Did you just get here now?
We did, yes. This is the first place we've seen. So.
You know how big this place is?
I have an idea. I've seen the aerial overview.
It just took me a half an hour to walk from the show that opened down at the other end down here. So it's about 2 miles.
Oh, wow. We're here for 2 days, so.
Oh, you are? Well, yeah, I'd start at one end and work. Do you know which shows are going to 1 o'clock? The other side of this side of the road opens down at the very end.
Okay. I have my map here.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Yeah. So you just got here. You haven't bought anything yet?
Just got here.
Do you go to other shows as well?
We go to a lot of auctions.
Oh, you
actually.
Do?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Maine.
Oh, where in Maine?
Outside of Portland.
Oh, okay.
So Kennebunk,
area. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I grew up in Elliott, Maine.
Oh, there you go.
You heard of it.
Yes, I have, actually.
It's one of those sneeze towns. If you sneeze, you go through it.
Yeah. Okay,
so you go to auctions up there, and there was one in Gray, Maine. There used to be one up there. Where do you go? Whose auctions
go to? There's an auction in Saco that we go to quite a bit. And then there's auctions in, it actually was Gray.
Yeah.
That we went to recently.
Uh-huh.
So there's so many in the area.
Right. And what would you say your best buy that you can think of? Like something really exciting that you bought?
For myself, I'd probably say a Staffordshire dog statue figurine
that I just got.
Uh-huh. It's a spaniel about 10 inches tall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my most exciting find.
Yeah.
It was in great condition, so I was happy about that.
Well, there's plenty more finds out there for you.
Good.
And especially right here.
Okay.
Well, very nice to meet you.
Okay, you too.
And thanks for talking
to us.
Okay.
You.
Hi, what's your name?
Lee Bartlett.
Lee Bartlett, how you doing? I'm Martin Willis. Nice to meet you.
Well, it's a pleasure indeed. Janet White.
Hi, Janet White. How are you? So, Brimfield, this is my last stop of the day. It's very hot here now, isn't it?
It is hellishly hot.
And the humidity. If you're from the West and you get used to the dry, this is really something else. It's like bathwater in the air.
Fortunately, we're from just around the corner in Worcester County, anyways, which is the next county over. So.
Oh.
How? It's not a bath that you don't pay for.
How long have you been doing the show here?
We've been doing it. There's a group of seven of us, and I think it's been probably three, maybe going on 4 years.
4 years, Now, I like the way you did with your tent. Just to describe to you, there's like curtains on the inside. It looks like a nice little room setting.
Mm-hmm.
And you have furniture. You have it's just nice and comfortable in here. Matter of fact, when I walked by, I felt like I had to come in.
We're pleased with that.
Yeah.
Well, the side to the right side is the brown side.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, and you have the white side over here.
Have the more casual side over.
Do you ever switch it around, in the middle?
We have one of our co-op people. That seems to be what her vocation is, to move stuff around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I had a shop for a while, and you know that does work.
Yeah.
You move things around, people say, oh, geez, I didn't see that before.
That's right.
Because the right-handed or left-handed, who knows what it is.
Yeah, sure.
So are you into antiques yourself?
Yes, I do restoration work.
Oh, you do?
Started about 40 years ago when I was hardly in my 20s and had something that needed to be repaired and went to a master repairer who was teaching, and he said, no, I won't, but I'll teach you how.
Nice.
He died and was replaced, so after that then we that again, there's a co-op of us that rent a space in Holden, which is just about an hour north of here.
Mm-hmm.
And we work out of there, and we take in work, or we do some of our own. Some of these are things that we worked on during the since May, for instance.
Yeah.
And we'll work all summer and, you know, get into the fall and come back again. But we work, but we also take in work.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, Martin calls up and says, I've got this chair and the leg is broken off.
Can you?
And if it's something like the other day, I got somebody who called and she wanted a bookcase. And I just don't get into building. But I have somebody, a friend whom I referred her to, and so hopefully she'll be happy with it. Yep.
Well, I remember you talking about back then, I remember during the 70s and times like that, it was the thing to do is to refinish everything. And refinish oak. Everyone wanted oak, and they all wanted it refinished. So I worked at a place in Colorado that did that, and also learned how to do repair and some restoration. But a good thing to ask you, I guess, right now is, when, if you have like an early piece of furniture, when is it a good point to restore or leave it the way it is? A lot of times people say, leave it original. What do you feel about that?
I think when it starts looking like I should throw something over it, then it definitely is time.
Yeah.
I don't go along completely with the restore everything.
Yeah.
In fact, I've gotten to the stage where if somebody has, if it's in reasonably good shape, but it needs to be re-glued or even a replacement part, I tend away from stripping it, which is what we used to do.
And, right.
I mean, I've got a couple, probably half a dozen blanket boxes, and only one has the original paint on it. Because the others, I mean, we were taking the paint off with power sanders, with belt sanders.
Oh, boy.
And got right down to the bare wood, and then would bleach it if there was the old casein paint, because it would get into the wood and
on.
And the one that I didn't do was far enough along, so it was grained. And, you're going to have to tip that. That's going to be hard to do. And I said, no, it's not. I put a couple coats of varnish over it, and it's there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the graining is still there, and it's not, it wasn't in the...
You saved that one.
Yeah.
My mother's parents or family did in the springtime with their furniture was they would just go put another coat of paint.
We did that at my grandmother's house. We would put a coat of fresh...
Fresh
paint. Call it a front porch green. It was a high gloss green. Usually, if there was some left over from last year, and you just put that on there and leave it out, and you know, from Easter until Thanksgiving,
and then next year you did it again.
Sure.
That's what you know. I mean, the early antiques. That's what they did too.
They
took their barn paint and painted that nice red color. And
I visited relatives. I've got relatives in Ireland, and every time I've gone, now they're not well to do. But every time I've gone, their kitchen furniture is a different color.
Nice.
Because they know that the Americans are coming.
Well, instead of changing the furniture, change the color, right?
Right. And, of course, the great part is, I mean, these pieces are 200 years old. Because they've never had the money to go out and buy it. You know, you got to repair the roof before you buy a new chair. You have to, you know, the lock is broken. You have to, so on. So, So, you know, and so you'd hear them, the neighbors say, yep, we knew you were coming. And I said, did Aunt Alice tell? No, we saw the furniture outside being painted.
So what do you, one question I've asked a few people here today is, how do you think the, has the economy affected your sales?
Well, ironically, last year, this is a roundabout way of doing it, that last year when we had, the economy was even worse, we had a banner time.
Yeah.
So I think the big problem, Jen and I were talking about it, I think the heat is killing people.
Today is
And I think that, yes, of course, the people haven't gotten back to the discretionary funds of a few years ago. No question about that. That's a big word to use. Excess money.
I like that.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I pronounced it correctly, too. But more importantly, I think it's the weather. And, you know, along with the economy.
I heard you had a microblast here, someone was saying, where a bunch of tents got knocked down.
When was that?
Oh, someone said about 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, I've been in one of those at a show before. That's something
That's
else.
Not good.
Yeah.
No. And, because the thing is, too, if if things get tough out here, we get kicked off the field. You know, we have to, if it gets thunder and lightning.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. And so, you know, and you
make a mad dash.
Close up and dash for the cars and that sort of thing like that. So it's a...
Oh, that's not good. No. Well, okay, I guess this will do it for us. And it was a pleasure meeting you both.
Well, thank you.
And good luck. You have, what, a couple more days left here?
We're here till Sunday.
Oh.
Yeah, we do. We choose to do
the long haul.
Come out on Sunday, get some stuff out yesterday, set stuff up, and then until Sunday afternoon, that's when we finish up.
And then you have that person come in and rotate your stock.
Yes. She's out walking right now.
Oh, I see.
But truly, she spent the morning just doing that, moving stuff around, little things sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
You see, the dark bureau goes much better with the dark bed than the white bureau would. See, all these things are...
Yeah. Well, everyone has their own opinion.
Job. Yeah, and since I'm the only male involved in it, then the ladies get their muscles built up as well.
I see. Yeah, I know we're good for something. Well, anyway, thank you very much. Nice meeting you both.
A pleasure indeed.
So here at Brimfield... Seems like it's somewhere around 2 miles, or that's what I was told anyway. I'm not really sure. But there's just about anything you can possibly think of in the realm of antiques and fine art here. And interesting people and a lot of fun, fair-like atmosphere. And enjoyable day. Very, very hot, though, here. And thank you for listening. This is Martin Willis with the Antique Auction Podcast, and I'm signing off. Today's show was brought to you by Audible. Visit audiblepodcast.com/auctionpodcast for your free audiobook download. There are over 75,000 titles to choose from. We thank you for listening today, and we hope you enjoyed the show.